Thank you, Lord God. He is good and His mercy endures forever. Amen. Why don't you, for the sake of time, let's look on your scripture sheet. We've seen this verse quite a bit. But I don't think we've got everything that we can from here. And there's some things that I just had on my heart to get out this morning, so we're in agreement that the right things are going to come out, right? John 14, verse 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, but that where I am, there you may be also." And we've been talking about this for many weeks. And I thought, well, probably maybe be done last week. But there was some stuff that was just on my heart this morning. I couldn't get away from it to keep going on some certain things. And you know, you can't just get up and preach anything. Did you know that? If you've never done it, you may not realize that. But you can't. It's not me just getting up saying, "This is a good message. I think I'll do this." You go to God and get what He wants to say to us. He's the chief shepherd. And He has something that He wants to get across. I could go off and preach any number of things this morning and it would be dead if it wasn't what He was saying, because it's not me up here just talking to talk. If we're doing it right, we're hooking up with Him, with the Holy Spirit, and He's speaking through me, yes, using my voice, but He's speaking to each of our spirits right now. He can say things to you that I didn't say. I can say certain things. The Holy Spirit reads between the lines, quickens things to you, and you come out and say, "Wow, that was good." And come up to me afterwards and say, "Boy, when you said this and this, that was good." And I didn't say anything of the sort. I said something close, and the Holy Spirit filled in the blanks. And He does that over and over. So we believe, that's why we pray. We don't do that just to hear ourselves talk. We're agreeing that God's going to speak to us, and we're pulling. When we join together, we are pulling on the gift and believing that what is supposed to come out will come out, and that makes a big difference in what does come out. Hallelujah. So we're all in agreement. We're pulling, and we have I just believe there's baked bread this morning that God has prepared for us, specifically for those of us here. So let's just join together and believe that. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And we've been talking about basically worry, anxiety, care, and getting rid of that in our life. Say, "Jim, how can you get rid of that in your life?" Well, that ought to be our goal as Christians. We should not have any of this stuff in our life. I'm not saying we're going to walk it out perfectly, but we ought to have it as a goal that doesn't live in my life. That I don't see myself as somebody that can't help but worry, that in certain situations I'm going to break down and just fall apart and worry, and anybody in that same situation would do that. We should not set the bar like that. "Well, you know, some days you just can't help it." No, that's not true. No more than any other sin that we would do. And that's what we talk. That may sound harsh to call it a sin, but it is a sin. Anything that when we're missing God, He tells us to do one thing and we go off and do something else, that's missing the mark. All sin is missing the mark. See, we categorize things. We think of little sins, big sins, things that are really big, you know, murder, adultery, fornication, all these things that we think, "Wow, I'm not going to do that. Nobody in the church should do that." But then we sanctify certain things and say, "Well, that's okay. Because if I say that's wrong, then I've just indicted myself because I do that all the time, or that seems like normal people do that." But no, anything, if God told us to do something and we do the opposite, we're missing it. If He told you to go to a certain place and we say, "No, I'm not going to do that," that's missing it. We don't want to do that. We ought to be, "Whatever you say, God, I'm there. You do it. Whatever you say, I'll do it." If He tells us to do something and we don't do it, that's missing the mark. If He tells us not to do something and we do it, that's missing the mark. We don't want to get focused up on what we're doing wrong or not doing wrong. But if God tells us specifically not to do something, we ought to take heed and say, God, I'm doing that. Help me not to do that and show me how I can get away from that, because that's not going to be good in my life. God doesn't tell us not to do something because it's going to be so much fun if we keep doing it. People are doing this all over thinking, well, if I were to really serve God and I were to focus up and just serve Him with all my heart, I wouldn't have any fun anymore. That's a lie. That is an absolute lie. Serving God is the best way to go, and serving Him fully. So if He told us to do something, our attitude ought to be, yes, sir, I can do it. And so we talked about some of that last week. I encourage you, if you didn't hear it, go back and listen to it. But one thing I wanted to touch on, God is not, don't get it in your head that, well, yeah, I've been worrying. So now you tell me that's a sin. Great. That just seems like it heaps the coals on my head. And now when I worry, instead of running to God, I want to run away from God because you've told me I've missed the mark. That's the enemy doing that to you. Because could you see anything, if God told us not to do it, wouldn't you say it's a good idea not to do it? Would anybody disagree with that? If He said not to do it, we should say, yeah, I don't want to do it. But our flesh would say, I don't see any way not to do it, so I'd rather just not hear about that. That's what I shouldn't do. I'd rather keep doing it and not worry about it. But if we keep doing it, we're going to have the consequences. The best thing to do is say, God, You said not to do this. You said I could avoid doing this. How do I do it? And in Your strength, I'm going to do it. And to know that He is not pushing us away. He is not saying, oh, dummy, you messed up again. My point is, we should look at Him and don't take it as something that's inevitable. And if there's something I could get across to you last week, it's that if we have the attitude that we can't help something, we won't resist it. We may try for a while and then we'll say, it's no use, it's too big for me, I can't do it. And so we'll give into it. And you could do this with any area of your life. Any area of our life, we could, if we've come against it and we say, I just can't do it, then we'll say, well, no use, I'm just going to do it anyway, just one of those days, and we don't resist. But if we know that God has strengthened us to do what He told us to do, then we can stand up and say, I'm not going to do that, and I have the power of God, and know that God is right there with me, taking hold and helping me not to do what He said to do. And don't get focused on, oh, I messed up or I didn't mess up. The enemy tries to get us in this cycle of condemnation and fear and focusing on what we're doing wrong or not doing wrong. What we ought to do is say, God, You said I could do this, so I'm going down the road and I'm going to act on Your word and what He's told us to do. If we act on the word, we're fine. But I want to focus, lest we get the idea that God somehow is now hard on us, because He's not. He's a good and merciful high priest. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. He is so good and so merciful. And He knows what we're going through, each one of us. He knows when we have those days that are really pushing our buttons, and when it's hard, and we say, man, this feels like one of those days I just want to come apart. I don't know how I can keep from being concerned. And those come to all of us. He's there with us. He's there for us. He's there to help us all the way through. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Notice that verse 3, He's the God of all comfort. Comfort flows from Him. And what does He say in verse 4? Who comforts us in all our tribulation. Who comforts us in all our tribulation. That means tribulation, when you're under the gun, when pressure is coming down and bearing under, in those conditions where you would be tempted to worry, tempted to fret, tempted to let your heart be troubled, God said He is there and He is the God of all comfort to comfort us in the middle of that, to help us in the middle of that. He has not left us to the side and said, well, you know, I don't want you to let your heart be troubled ever, or any time, so I'm going out to lunch now. Good luck. No, He says, I am there with you. And what I want to, we're going to share some things today that will show us why and how to overcome in this area. God of all comfort. The word comfort there means a calling aside to help, to comfort, to give consolation or encouragement. This word is a strengthening presence, one who upholds those appealing for assistance. I want to read this again. Listen, this is that word comfort. That God, we just read, He's the God of all comfort, who comforts us. This is what He's doing. It's a calling alongside. That means God is coming alongside us to help, to comfort, to give consolation, or encouragement. And this word is a strengthening presence. One who upholds those appealing for assistance. Notice that. If we don't think we need it, we won't go to Him. It takes a humility to say, God, I need You. God, I can't do this alone. So many people are holding Him at arm's length and saying, I don't need God. I can do this myself. I'm a self-made woman. I'm a self-made man. Whatever. That's not true. People can do things in the natural, but we were made by a Creator to serve a God. And He made it. We're wired so that we'll depend on Him. And life is at its fullest when we're fully depending on Him. And so when stuff comes up in our life, He said, I'll be there. I'll be there to come alongside you. I'll be there to help. Think about that. God, our helper, coming right alongside us. He's not God off somewhere, you know, in the distance, and I'll send you a postcard to encourage you one day. No, He said He would come alongside you to help. We're walking along in our problem, in the thing that is pushing our buttons, in the stress, and He said, I'll come alongside you and I'll help you. You ever done something, you know, strenuous, you're outside like pushing, like one time, actually it was my neighbor. He was trying to get his car out. It was slick and it was all icy, and he couldn't get his car to get to back up out of that thing. It was stuck, it wasn't high centered, but he just couldn't get it going because it was spinning on the ice. Spinning those tires, and he was doing stuff. His wife was in there on the gas pedal, and he just couldn't get it going. And I saw him, went over there, came alongside him to help, and both of us together, we got it out. That's God with us. He sees you spinning your wheels. He's not going to say, well, we'll leave you there for another 3 days, see how you do. After you've learned a few things, then I'll come help you. That's the way some people think of God. He's working out something in your life, and so He's just going to let you sweat a little bit. That's not God. No, He will see you, and if you say, God, help me, He won't just send something from a distance. It says He comes by to take part with you and help you. You get that picture. He is the comforter. He said, He'll come right by and say, it's all right. I got this. Now let's do it together. Hallelujah. Let's turn over to John 14:16. We'll see this even clearer. John 14:16. Everybody there? It says, and I will pray the Father, this is Jesus, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now this word, look at this on your scripture sheet. This word helper here has a lot of connotations. That word helper is the same, is a form of that word we read over there that means to comfort. And this word, when we say helper, a good translation of that is the comforter. Jesus said he would send the comforter. Now look at this in the Amplified Bible on your scripture sheet. It says, in the Amplified, many times will bring out all the different connotations and angles of given words. It, you know, you can read several different translations to get an idea. A lot of times Amplified will put all those shades of meaning right in the same verse. And you see that really clearly here. Verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, which is counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. Let's read that again in the Amplified. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor. How many of you've been in situations where you need some advice? Counselor. God said he would send you a counselor. That's the Holy Spirit. We'll read that. The Holy Spirit. He's our counselor. He's our helper. He's our intercessor. He's our advocate. He's our strengthener. He's our standby. And it says that he'll remain with us forever. That's the one that has come with us to help. He's the one that's on the inside of us. Look on your sheet there. Go back to the word, John 14, verse 26. Just look, lay your eyes on it in your Bible. John 14, verse 26 says, but the helper or comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The helper, the Holy Spirit. It said, when we read up in verse 17, it says, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He dwells in us. This mighty one, the Holy Spirit, the great comforter, the helper, the strengthener, the advocate, the standby, he's with us all the time. He lives inside of us. And so when something comes in our life and hits us broadside, we have the mighty one, the counselor inside of us, the comforter inside of us. He's not off somewhere else. He's the one sent by God, and he is God to help us through that, to take part with us, to take hold with us and say, I'll bring you through. I'll be your counselor. I'll be your helper. I'll be your standby. I'm your advocate. I'm your comforter. We'll get through it. And as the more real that becomes to us, the less things will have an effect on us. I didn't say we wouldn't be tempted, but the more we act on this and say, no, God's inside of me. He's helping me. Then we'll see the worry and the tension dissipate. Just skip down a little bit to chapter 15, verse 26. John 15, verse 26. When the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. But when the Helper comes, this Comforter, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of truth. Listen, grab that with your heart. He is the Spirit of truth. When you are in the middle of a tribulation, the enemy will come to bring you lies. He'll bring you, tell you all the things he's going to do to you. He's a big liar. He brings smoke screens and mirrors. He's the God of this world. He does control some things, but he does not control the Christian. He only controls those that yield to him. And some people do. He can get things to look like a certain way in the natural. When he comes lying to us, the Spirit of truth in us will tell you what is true and what God says. And that's who we have to agree with. What we don't want to do is when things are coming in and every thought about the worst case scenario is beating down in your head, it's just going through, the thoughts are going through your mind like a machine gun. What you don't need to do is give in to that and say, give voice to all that and start saying how all those things, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how this is going to, how we're ever going to get through. What if this happened? What if this happens? I don't know. I just feel so weak. I feel so helpless. And we start saying that we are yielding to him. We are giving in to him. And the Spirit of truth indwells us this whole time. And if we know that I don't have to yield to that. In fact, the Helper is standing right next to me, in fact, in me, ready to help. If we'll say, no, I'm not going to yield to all that junk. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to stand up and declare what the Spirit of truth. And if you listen, it can be in the worst tribulation, in the worst pressure, beating down of you. If you'll listen on the inside, God is encouraging you. The Spirit of truth is saying, doesn't have to be like this. You'll go over. Think about it. He's with you. Has God ever been defeated? No. I don't know what his record in the win column is, but his record in the loss column is zero. And no draws. He has never been defeated. He never will be defeated. So if he's with us and he's in us, if we yield to him and side with him, what are the chances that we're going down? Zero. That may sound, well, that's pretty bold. You don't know. You just never know. No, we have to get over and get rid of that when we're saying, I don't know. You just know how it's going to turn out. We have to say, no, I know how it's going to turn out. The Word of God tells me how it's going to turn out. I have the Comforter inside me, and I'm winning. Period. And if that sounds bold to you, if that sounds like, well, you just never know, we need to get that you just never know out of us to where we know. Because if he said it, if he's God of all creation, if he's in me, and if he's for me, I'm going to win, period. We play, I remember Kenneth Copeland said this, he said, we play till I win. You know how little kids, like they bring the ball and bat? We're playing till I win, and then we're going home. I don't care. See, if you, it looks like you lost a round. You haven't lost. You get up and say, we're playing again until I win. I win. It looks like you just got set back three times. Don't say, well, I guess I'm just messed up in this area. Get up and say, no, I win. I have the greater one. He never loses. I win. You know, that's why they have series like in baseball. You can be down 3-0. You can have dropped three games, but the series isn't over. It's not over till the last inning of the last game, till people close it out with four games, right? We've seen that recently proven. Where it's come down to the last bit, but then somebody turned it around and kept going through and won. And if we can see that in the natural, you see the montages of the clips and everything. We need to get that idea, that down in our mind, so that doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what's going on. I don't care if I've been pushed back three times. It's not time to lay across the bed and say, oh no, I don't know what's going on. I guess I'm just done. Didn't do enough. Don't know enough. No, all that time, God Almighty is on the inside of us saying, I'm with you. I'm for you. I'm here to help. Ask me. I'll show you what to do. And he's there. and He is the greater one. God Almighty is there saying, I am going to comfort you. I'm going to help you. Now listen to me. And He'll be speaking to you positive words. If you'll listen, He'll say, it's not over. It's not over. I got this. You look to me. What do we need to do? Where does the test come in? It's with agreeing with that when you don't feel like it. When your mouth wants to speak the other and agree with the other. If we think, I don't have a choice, this is just the way it is, just have to have a bad day, then we will just drift over there. Instead of saying, no, I don't care what it looks like, He's inside of me, and I don't care what we have to do to force our mouth to turn to start agreeing with His what He's saying on the inside of it. Agree with the Word. Say, I'm not going over there. No, I'm not going down. I'm going to win. I'm going to win. God's inside of me. God is for me. I'm going over. Hallelujah. Let's turn to 1 John 4. First John 4, verse 1. He is a comforter. He is our comforter. He lives inside of us. He is the greater one. He is the strengthener. If you need strength today or any day, we have the God of all strength on the inside of us. You say, I don't feel like it. Doesn't matter what we feel like. We activate it when we start agreeing with Him. As long as we take sides against Him, as long as we say, I can't, I don't feel like it, I just can't, I don't feel, I just can't, then we can't. Because the power source is on the inside of us. He is there to help us. He said He's going to take hold with us. But as long as we say, I can't, we nullify Him because He won't override us in our own life. He won't override our will. He gave us a free will, and God Himself will not override our will. So if we say we can't, if we say our kids are hopeless, if we say the finances are hopeless, if we say the health is hopeless, even though we have all power, all strength, God Himself working with us, we tie His hands. Does that seem like an odd thought that we tie the hands of the all-powerful one? But it's true. If somebody does not bow to Him as their Lord and Savior and say, I don't care, I think there's another way to heaven. I think I can go a different way. It doesn't matter. God is not going to come down from heaven and force somebody to bow their knee. He won't. He'll let somebody go, not because He sent them there, but go to a devil's hell that was created not for man, but for the devil and his angels. The Bible says so. It's their punishment. But the devil has come to deceive. He hates God. He hates everything about God. And he's come. He can't whip God Himself. He got thrown out of heaven. So what does he do? He comes to men and he whispers and tries to control them and tries to go and influence them. And if the people that listen to him are going to partake in the same fate that he is. Not because God sent them. God has given freely and said, my son, for you. He's died on the cross. All you need to do is receive. But if somebody says, no, I don't want him, God is not going to override that will. And he will not override our will in the middle of a circumstances where we desperately need help. Now get this. People all over are waiting for God to come into their circumstance and just rescue them independent of them. He wants to. But if we say, I can't, that won't happen, and they shut him out, God will not come in and override. Do you follow? That he will not override our will, but if we'll say, God, it hurts. I don't know if I have the strength to go on. I don't know how. This is more than I feel like I can bear, but you said you were in me. You are the greater one. You said you would strengthen me. You said you would comfort me. And God, I look to you now. I appeal to you now. Lord, help me.
I choose to agree that I'm strong right now. And you feel weaker than you ever have in your life. But you say, I will say what you say. God, I'm strong. I am healthy. I'm coming out. My kids are going to be fine. And you start speaking the words of the living God in the face of impossible circumstances. We are working with Him, and He can do what He needs to do. He will come in and do what no man can do because we've authorized Him in our life by our words, by our actions. And God Almighty can turn any situation around. Hallelujah. But He can't if we say, I can't, I'm too hard, no way, can't do it. Hallelujah. He is inside of us. And that's why when we look at worry and anxiety, we ought to look at it and say, no, I'm not taking any of that. No, that's the enemy trying to get me discouraged. I will have none of it. If you have to look at it the same way that you would look at a temptation, at somebody trying to get you out of your marriage and commit adultery. It's destruction. You have to look at it as a temptation to say, I'm not having any of that. I don't care what it looks like. I'm not going to destroy my life with that. We have to look at worry and anxiety and say, no, I'm not going down there. That's not who I am. God's inside of me. No, thank you. I will speak God's word right now when I don't feel like it. Hallelujah. He is a good God and a merciful God. And if we'll look to Him, He will strengthen us when we feel like we have no strength. 1 John 4:1. It says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He's talking about there are spirits in the world, spirits that are against God. But He says, be of good cheer. The greater one lives inside of us. Regardless of what's going on around us, regardless of the circumstances, He said, we are greater. God, the one who is in us is greater than anything in the world, any circumstance in the world. He's in us. Now, if this seems foreign to us, we have to renew our mind till we agree with this word, because we just read the word of God. We read earlier that the Comforter will be in us. We can say, I don't feel like He's in us. We have to come to where we agree with what's in here and say, God, You said it. God Almighty is in us. God's in me. You said the greater one is in me. So Lord, I believe it and I act like it. I'm going to act like today the greater one is in me, regardless of what my mind tells me, what my body tells me. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. He is a comforter. He is a good God. He is a good God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I want to touch on something in relation to this. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 14. First Corinthians 14:1. It says, Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now here he's talking about mostly tongues and interpretation and then prophecy in a public setting like this. But he makes some comments about speaking in tongues that apply when you're speaking in tongues, regardless if it's public or if it's private. He says, "He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men," because he's speaking in a language that they can understand. Verse 4, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." So he is differentiating here. It'd be like, and you've seen this operate different times in this, when we've been here at church, where there's prophecy, which is inspired utterance. In one sense, what I'm doing now is prophecy. It's inspired utterance. The Holy Spirit is inspiring it. But you've seen words come forth where things will just a word, somebody will have a word from God. There's also where you speak in tongues and have an interpretation. Though, if you have a tongue and interpretation in a public setting, it's equivalent to prophecy. So prophecy or a tongue and interpretation. But what he's saying is, if I just speak in tongues off by myself, I am building myself up. He says, I'm edifying myself, but you wouldn't know what I'm saying. You can't understand it. And he's talking about in a public setting. So if you're going to prophesy, people know what you're saying, or if you're going to speak in tongues, unless we're all just doing it to edify ourselves, doing an interpretation is going to be helpful for people to get out of it, get something out of it. But what I want you to notice is verse 4, he says, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." That word edify means to build up. He who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. When you speak in tongues, and if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we can take care of that after service. We can give you many scriptures about that. I'm not going to go into all those right now. I want to speak on, or just touch on a few things that apply to speaking in other tongues as it relates to what we're talking about and not being troubled. Because there are times when you feel the pressure getting onto you, a thing that you can do to combat that in a weapon is to get by yourself. You don't even have to get by yourself. If you're on the way to work, going home, coming, if you speak in other tongues, it's like recharging your spiritual battery. You feel drained. You feel worn down. When you yield or give in to your spirit man, the inside person, the real you, and speak out things that you don't understand, in a language you don't understand, you are speaking mysteries, the first part. Look at verse 2. It says, "He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. No one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries." You are saying things you don't understand, but God does, and you're speaking in a language. That's why this is so powerful, because you don't necessarily, you're yielding to God. When you don't know how to pray as you ought to pray, hold your finger in here in 1 Corinthians and turn over to Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26. Everybody there? It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought." Have you ever been there? You don't know exactly how to pray. You don't know exactly when you're praying for somebody else, especially, or you don't know in a circumstance exactly what to pray with your head. If you'll pray with the Spirit, God knows exactly what needs to be prayed. This works if your children, if there's certain things that need to be worked in them. If we'll pray in tongues, God Himself is praying through us what He knows needs to be prayed for. And so we're yielding our tongue to our spirit man. That person, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, gives us utterance or words to speak out that we don't understand. Your head thinks this is nuts. This is foolishness. But you are giving into that person, the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. He's praying through you. It bypasses your mind. It bypasses your limitations. You don't know what to pray, but God does. And by you speaking it out in your life, it gives Him authority and power to come in and work. And when we're drained and feeling like we don't know what to do, if we'll yield to the inner man, yield to the Spirit, start praying in other tongues, you're recharging, you're giving in to things that bypass your mind, you're already yielding. Instead of yielding to your mind that maybe is screaming at you with all these thoughts, you're yielding to your heart, to the inner person, and that automatically takes your attention off your circumstance, puts it on God, who's real, and you're saying, no, I'm yielding to this right now. And you praying out those mysteries, you're praying out things you don't understand, and you're praying, you're building yourself up. Verse 26, Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Another translation says groanings that cannot be uttered in articulate speech. And God will pray through you in different ways, but one of the reasons the ways the Holy Spirit prays through you is through speaking in other tongues. And this is very powerful. That's why the enemy has attacked it. Oh, that's stupid. Oh, that's passed away. Oh, that makes no sense. People make fun of it. They're ignorant. Because it's all over in the Word. It gives us instruction. And if the devil can shut you up, you have this weapon. It's like you've got a bazooka sitting by you. And you're being attacked. And you won't use it. He's convinced the church world that we don't need it. That it's passed away. That it's foolishness. And so people will not pick up the weapon that God has given them because they've been talked out of it. And they'll sit there and get their brains beat out and not know all the time the Spirit of the living God dwells inside of them, has given us the ability to speak out things when we don't know what to do. One of my instructors used to say, when you don't know what to do, you know what to do. You start speaking in other tongues. You start giving utterance to that. And when you're tempted to fret and you're drained, if you'll yield to this, the Bible says, turn over back over to 1 Corinthians where you had your finger. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. And then in verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. When we feel drained, we need to get our eyes focused back on what's true. If you'll go around, if you have to, lock yourself in the bedroom. Get away. Start praying in other tongues. Focus. Yield to what's on the inside. If everything around here seems more real than what's going on the inside, the fact that God's in there, you start yielding to your spirit. You start saying, no, I'm going to speak it out right now, and you start yielding. Brother Hagin used to say, that's the gateway to the supernatural. You see, so many times, when we're ministering at the in different parts of the service, we start speaking out in tongues. You're yielding to the Spirit. You're speaking things out, and then it opens the door for other things to happen. The gifts of the Spirit flowing. Let's look over at one more scripture. Let's go to Jude. Jude 20. This is right before Revelation. So go all the way back till you hit Revelation, and it's probably like one page in your Bible right before you hit Revelation. It's only one chapter. Jude 20. Jude 20, everybody there? If not, it's on your scripture sheet too. It says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ under eternal life. But you, beloved, verse 20, building yourself up. Like we read in the other place, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. That's the same thing. Edify means to build up. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Ghost, like the King James says. Sometimes we just need to be built up. The things of life have been doing this to us. And what we're drained spiritually. We need to just yield and speak and let ourselves yield and let our spirit recharge. Just build, recharge, and get built up to where you do that for 45 minutes, you'll go out of there ready to take on things again. And sometimes we need to just do that. But we need to, this needs to be, if we haven't been making this regular practice, we need to speak in tongues regularly. That's part of the Christian life. Paul, who wrote two-thirds, you know, all these epistles, probably two-thirds of the epistles of the New Testament, he said, I speak in tongues more than you all. We can go through all the scriptures. I'm not speaking on all the verses on speaking in the Holy Spirit, but in the upper room, it says all the disciples were gathered together in the upper room in Acts, and they all were filled with the Spirit and spoke with other tongues. That would include Mary, the mother of Jesus. Said that before. That blew away some denominations. She was a tongue talker. Everybody in Paul, was it everybody you see? It's a given. It's not side. It is a given that you speak in tongues in the New Testament. It is. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke with other tongues. Paul, who wrote Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Romans, on and on, probably Hebrews. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, some people have tried to get rid of it and say, well, that just passed away. There's nothing in the Bible that said it passed away. Just like there's nothing in the Bible that said healings passed away. And if we're talked out of it, even if we said, oh, I did that, I used to speak in our tongues, but I don't do it much anymore, we need to pick it up. We need to be encouraging ourselves and doing it regularly. I pray in other tongues when I'm going to work. I'm on the highway. I'm on 93, 95. I'm praying under, you know, I can, nobody's around. Pray out loud. Build myself up. Now, if you're in the middle of a people, you know, you're down on your lunch break, you probably need to, you know, do it under your breath because people will look at you like you're absolutely weird, and they're right. If we just start, that's what those verses are saying. If you just go and start speaking in other tongues and people don't know what you're doing, you look like a nut. And some people get fanatical and they get weird and they give, you know, people look at Christians bad because people, you know, don't use any discernment. And when people don't know what you're doing and you go and start babbling in a different language that you don't understand and they don't understand, it makes you look weird. But we don't have to do that. We don't have to try to push things over on people. But you can be praying. I do this at work. It doesn't take any mental ability. I'll say, God, sometimes I'll reach an engineering problem. This is practical. God's not super spiritual and weird. He gave us the equipment we need. I'll be at my desk with some, you know, software problem and say, and I'll ask God, give me wisdom, insight, knowledge, and understanding. Show me how to solve, and I'll lay out the problem because He knows. And then sometimes I'll just sit at my desk there while I'm looking at it and mulling it over, and I'll just be praying in other tongues. And then I'll get an idea. See, an interpretation, sometimes we have boxed it into saying an interpretation is like tongues and then an interpretation. No, an interpretation can be anything. You can be praying in other tongues off on your own, and you have a mental picture pop in your head. How many of you know a picture is worth 1,000 words? God can put a picture in our head. Something pops into your head, you know what to do. You don't know what to do about this situation. You start praying in tongues and you're just walking around. Suddenly it all unfolds out in front of you. This is what you do and this is what you do and this is how you lay that out. And this is how you do that house and this is how you, you know, do that room. And it's all there. That's an interpretation that you're getting from God. So many times that's happened to me. I encourage you to do that. And if we're tempted to get fretful and worry, say, God, I just need to focus on you. Build yourself up. Exercise that weapon. Thank you, Lord.